Things that if are not addressed now, in the next 10 years, it will become that android stomach that we are talking about. Believers that come from there will be strange. Stunted growth, the back bent over. Because they did not find support. There's no connection. There's no networking. But Muslims have more denominations than Christians. But when they come for election, they can put their differences aside. And the imam of the region can say, we have received a signal from the council. And this is the direction. Every one of them, bam. They'll go in that. After the election, they can still fight. Go ahead that there are factions, there are wars that are about to erupt in Katsina State. But for election purposes, they were all what? One. Is it possible for us to operate like that at all? The Church of Nigeria. So, even what to quote, can the pastor say, okay, gather in the night and say, this is where, before daybreak, the whole thing has changed. So we don't even have a political front that is effective, that is viable, that can apply pressure on government. God will help us in Jesus' mighty name. Now, so there is a deficiency in the corporate life. And what happens where there is no networking among, you know, in deeper life, networking just started a few years ago, where somebody, we can be invited to preach on deeper life pulpit. Just a few years ago. If not, you must be a member of the system. You were discipled there, so you have access to the throne that waters that garden. You don't have access to other things. So it will take another throne from another different place, another different source, to come and supply this needed strength to strike a balance in the areas of weaknesses. So we have interdependence as the rule of engagement in Bethel. Meanwhile, independence in AI. Competition as against specialization. Can you see the distortion there? I don't want to press further. God will help us in the name of Jesus Christ. So there should be partnership among believers, among ministers, and among ministries. Amen. I've attended services here, Bible studies here in Fountain of Living Waters. And in my own opinion, we are not doing different things. We have different names, though. But it's the same thing we are doing. That is this ministry. So I can fit in easily. All right? But before we became close, first there was a connection in the spirit. Then when we now started working together, we now discovered that we are relatives, spiritually. So because we are relatives spiritually, we can stand together to pioneer that dimension that God wants us to add to his move in a territory. Do you get that? And so there is partnership. But the partnership is not achieved in the flesh. It is something that is sensed in the spirit and synchronized by the spirit. There's another factor that I need to raise quietly. Now, I don't know how many of you, while you were in school or that, you were part of a prayer group, you were part of something like that. That was not too formal, not like a fellowship. Something very informal, but it commands the grace of God, commands the presence of God. You were part of something like that. Who else was part of? You were part of something like that. I hope you know, on such platforms, they don't do election before you know the leader. You know, in a formal fellowship, you have to conduct an election, which is a departure from the format in the apostolic template. And that's why it's easy for a wrong leader to come into the place, somebody that is devoid of grace. So it doesn't matter how much revival you have in one session in FCS. If you elect the wrong leader, and wrong leader comes in, that wrong leader is going to pull everything that has been built down. That's why revivals are not sustained in those kind of platforms. But the informal platforms that are raised, are you with me? It is obvious Knowing who should lead is not a challenge, because since it's not election, you look for grace. Abi, you look for what? So it's in those kind of environments. There is when people network, there is somebody that the grace is upon for strategic leadership at that level. That's why I say this thing, if flesh can't join them, you know if you work. Now, the move, that move you were part of in school, was it sustained or did it die? When you left, it was still there. And most of them eventually became ministers of the gospel and all of that. Oh, your own was successful. To God be the glory. Sister, the one you were part of, did it die during your time or it outlived your stay in school? You are still in it now. Okay. Okay. Did you have any system like that running? Who else? I saw some hands. Please, we need to go around. Because, okay. Oh. The one you were part of, did it die during your time or it outlived you?
It was dying.
It was dying. One of the reasons why it dies is because the wrong person begins to lead. Leadership in the body of Christ is based on grace. When a man doesn't have the grace to lead, what happens is that it means he doesn't have the authority to function. So the authority he's going to use is illegitimate. And when we are talking about illegitimate authority, the power, that illegitimate authority is what witchcraft is. You are doing what Baba has not graced you to do. Get that? Familiar spirits will power that man's leadership because it is not legitimate. It can only be legitimate if it's grace. And so when that illegitimate man comes on, he wants to administer control by the flesh, because the Holy Ghost is not the one that chose him, so he's not there to back him up. He must create a way to control the system. Oh my God. Now you are denying me. These are things you have experienced on various levels, in various places. And it doesn't matter the name of the ministry. You are afraid. You are afraid. I can see fear. You don't want to. See, this fear is what has kept us in bondage. And our children should not suffer from the fact that we could not speak out. There are many branch churches or big ministries in this city that are dead because the pastor they put there doesn't have the grace to function. What are you looking like this? I don't have the grace to function. And you see people there that are still going there saying they are going to church. That's not a church. Oh, you are not with me. If we go back to scripture, I don't want to waste your time. Because I want us to pray today. I don't want to waste your time. If we move to scripture and I give you a definition of a minister, it's not physical. The definition of a minister is not physical. According to the book of Revelation chapter 1 verse 20, the definition of a minister is a star held up in the constellations of God. And I don't want to press on that. Because Jesus, in the book of Revelation, there was a symbol, two symbols, candlestick and star. So the stars were in Jesus' right hand. And Jesus was walking in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Then he decided to interpret the symbols. Say, the candlesticks you are seeing at the seven churches, and the stars you are seeing at my right hand are the angelos, the messengers of the churches, the pastors of the churches. If pastors were symbolized by stars, it means their constellation is in the heavens. That's why Jesus said, he that is up from above speaketh the words of God, and the Spirit is not given to him by measure. You have to be from somewhere to be able to speak the words of God. So when you have a minister that is not in the constellations, what is he doing there? That's not church. It's not, oh my God. By what means does he lead when there's no grace for him to do so? Because he's not elected. And you have a lot of branch churches, like those revivals on campus, that they put a fake man. Then the fake man begins to suffer from insecurity. Insecurity is a sign that you are not called to do that work.
Because he's insecure, witchcraft now comes in. Because he needs to find a way of controlling the people the way the last person controlled them. When he doesn't have the grace to do so. So familiar spirits hijack the whole place. And he becomes dry of the presence of God. Dry. But there's a keyboard. There's an amplifier. There's a podium. But the reason there's no proof of presence.
Hey, Kamala.
If Fulani should invade, it's his church members that will be killed. They'll say, oh, we're in the market. No, people don't die like that. If the covering was accurate, they don't die like that. Those guys were like sheep without a shepherd. So when they are looking for people to balance accounts with, from the village, from Fulani, from those are the people that become victims. Okay. Who again was part of such a group on campus? And you were praying, and suddenly God began to break out. It may not be campus, maybe in the office or something you had, all of that. Did it outlive your stay, or it died while you were there? When you were getting out, you noticed that a virus had entered into the system. Those viruses enter because we don't know the resource from whence God powers his works. He powers his works by grace. There is nothing unique about me as a person. Nothing. Hallelujah. But it's election that has made me who I am. There's nothing unique about me. I was born a stammerer. A terrible stammerer is the anointing that came through election that is responsible for my speaking. And as you might trivialize the grace of God, but that's what powers every work of God. And when a man is lacking in grace, he's not useful for a particular kind of job. Let him be put where he has grace to function. So ministries became so large that they don't have a very thorough system of bringing people into the ministry. Maybe you work here for 6 months, work here for this, then you go to Lagos for ordination, then this, that, and that, and then all kinds of people on the pulpit, and then you now come for your camp meeting and say, those pastors using charm, God has cursed them. Kai, stop that. How did they, was it under your watch they became pastors? What system did you put in place to replenish your ranks of pastors? That curse can't work. That curse can't work. It doesn't matter what anointing. There is an order for kingdom work, an order for kingdom business. When you violate it because of your own selfish reasons, you are not in the service of God. You have raised a temple to Mammon. It's all about the cash. Forget about it. Oh. Hallelujah. How I wish these were fewer. I would have said something. I've seen people that left big ministries, they came out of it. And when they now share their experiences, you now begin to wonder if this is the Lord's labor. Is this the Lord's labor? This is labor. A redeemed pastor in Enugu. There was no church. But he knows that he has to remit money every month as a proof that that's the sign that the church is existing. Money comes, is remitted. Remittance. So there's no church. So from his salary he cuts a portion. Then he does remittance so that they will allow him rest. But there was no church for about 5 years. But remittance was what? As long as there's remittance, that is Mammon. That structure was set up for Mammon. Because you can drift to become a structure of Mammon and not know it. That's one of the reasons why you need your brethren around. Because they'll help you strike a balance. They help you stay on course in your call. There are many ways of handling crowds. According to the scripture, there's an apostolic formula for it. When you violate it, get set for drama. Most of those ministries have been hijacked, but you don't know. You travel from here for a camp meeting all the way to Lagos, and then you come out of the camp meeting wondering what you contacted. If you met God, you will not wonder like that. So we have violated the principles and the practice of corporate life And the Bible says that where two or three are gathered under my authority, my presence will be there in the midst of them. So when that fundamental requirement is violated, you can have people gather, but the presence of God will not be amidst them. I wanted to ask a question if we had an example of somebody that was part of a system like that, that was functional once upon a time, and that the presence of God was withdrawn. I wanted to ask, what changed? What changed? Oh, all right. Is there anybody like that? You were doing something together. Okay, Joe, can we have a microphone? Corporate life. Corporate life.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
I was part of a very strong move of God in Nasarawa State, SSIQ, and it is within the Deeper Life platform. But something strange was actually going on, and we have this young man that was bringing us up in the Lord, very strong. And the young man was doing well. Many people were being revival. Things are happening among us, and all of a sudden, they decided to transfer him from that place to another place, and that fellowship, because of that, he died. And sin entered in our camp, and everybody began to misbehave.
You are seeing the reality is that when the structure ordained by God was removed, it was replaced quickly with familiar spirits, and the attendant manifestations were obvious. Corporate life. You can maintain the same sweet life you have on a personal level, it can be maintained on a corporate level and still be pure and powerful, breaking out in the territory. So much so that the purity of that corporate manifestation or local expression of the body of Christ within that land burns with so much intensity to the end that a portal is open over the city. A portal is a connecting access route from the supernatural to the natural, and vice versa. It will take an effective priesthood in the territory to secure the opening of a portal. That was what Jacob saw when he saw a ladder connected to the heavens and angels were ascending and descending. That's a portal. Are you with me? Now, we don't have time this time. We have spoken about the factors that make up the spiritual landscape of a city. When we talk about factors that make up a spiritual landscape of a city, then we begin to talk about issues of portals, of gates, of corridors, of windows. And all of those things are created by the kind of priesthood that is established within the territory. We should be able to shut down demonic gates and open up divine gates. We should be able to shut down demonic portals and open up divine portals over cities. That's where the power that drives the civilization of a city comes from. Hallelujah. Now those are... So when you begin to see that presence of God breaking out of this church, for instance, it's not just for this church, it's entering into the city. That priesthood is entering. There is a tipping point that reaches a portal is open. It means that it's a dimension of the kingdom of God that is established in the city that is no longer reversible. You may not know that it's there, but it is there. Just like Jacob did not know that there was such a portal there, but it is still there. And when he came close enough and was... He gained proximity to where the portal was, the area where the portal influenced. When he slept in the night, he began to see the reality of that portal from his spiritual senses. He knew that there was something to this wasteland that was deeper than what eyes could see. Because his grandfather had stumbled on that place many, many years ago,
and he had offered up sacrifices and covenanted with God on the same ground, and a website was open unto God. And so God is intending that those platforms would have opened up portals. He's intending that a church, every church, must have a gate behind it, a spiritual gate that powers it. That is what would cause the voice that is coming from that altar to travel beyond the locality, because there is a gate that is open. These are things that we must wrestle to secure in the spirit of prayer. And there was a city where there was a revival in Germany many years ago, because that revival lasted for 100 years. They did night vigil in that city for 100 years. So a portal was opened. So some prophets in America began to seek God, and God said, you guys are asking for what I've already given. Go to so-so place. So they now went there, and then they began to do their prayers there, and then the portal shook, and the angels began to come again. It was open already, just like the one that Jacob stumbled on was open. And many things began to come. Their prophetic edge became stronger. They began to pick things about the nations. They picked the two tsunamis that took place before it happened. Picked things. Began to contend with spirits in the realm because they had a gate back in them. And the impact of what they did went to the nations of the world from that remote place, because there was a gate that was behind their ministry, shooting it out and giving it territorial impact. There is power in us, and that power can be harnessed on a very great level, on a great scale, by corporate partnership. And that is one of the things that God is using this move that is coming to do. There are connections on different levels, connections among believers irrespective of denomination, connections among ministers irrespective of where they are laboring and how they are laboring, and there are also connections among ministries. We have number 5, the gospel of the high calling in Christ. Gospel of the high calling in Christ. Now, in this, there's something called mark, something called measure. Everybody has a mark and a measure. You know, Paul said, I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ. Hallelujah. It is needful for us to understand that before you were manifested upon the face of the earth, your calling was articulated. According to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1, you existed as a seed of eternity, and your calling was already deduced. The grace that should empower that calling was already deciphered, and you were separated unto that calling already and ordained to walk under that grace already. Alright? Are you with me? Based on the resources by which that calling was formulated, there is an estimated mark that is supposed to result from such an endowment. And that mark has already been set in the studio before you even came here as a pilgrim. So Paul said, there is a high calling of God in Christ. Everyone that is a partaker of Christ has a high calling. And this high calling has a mark of estimation, of the extent to which you can go and the measure to which you can perform. And that is already captured in the studio in eternity before you came to sojourn in time. People with understanding, like Paul, strive towards the mark of the high calling that is in Christ Jesus. How many of you have had such experiences? When you sleep in the night, you see yourself in a vast crusade field, sea of heads, and you are ministering to them. You see such things. Those are riddles. They are riddles of the mark of what is expected. that you have such potential to drive you to this extent. In fact, those visions should be the basis of your prayer and your pressing. Because Paul says, I press towards what? The mark of the high calling in Christ. And there is such a mark for every believer that is a partaker of Christ. Hallelujah. In fact, if you have prayed and you are pressing consistently to meet up with that mark, you begin to understand the scope of your sojourning. The scope. You know, at first when you begin to dream those kind of dreams, you will not know where the crusade held that you were a part of. Okay? When you begin to press further, you begin to know locations. You begin to see the scope of your coverage. The scope of what? Of your coverage. Notice that the Bible says that men will not light a candle and put it under a bushel. Men won't do that. As lowly as men are, they will not do that. But they will put it on a candlestick so that they can give light to the house. So the message there is coverage and reach. Coverage and reach is part of the mark and the measure. Coverage. Kenneth Hagin never left the United States. His ministry took place just in the United States. He only left once, and that was when he went to South Africa. But you see, what exactly is an international ministry? I just want to clarify. What is an international ministry? Now you have a church in London, you have another one in Switzerland. Is that what an international ministry is? Because in London is Yoruba people that attend the church. In Switzerland is Yoruba people that attend the church. In New Jersey is Yoruba people that attend the church. That's not an international ministry. That's a mantle to the Yoruba nation. And anywhere they are in the world, they attend the place. An international ministry must be multilingual, multinational. You are relevant to them, but you, that mantle that only gathers Yoruba people, is only relevant to who? And woe to you if you find yourself in a place where there is a Yoruba mantle. Let me stop there. Doesn't matter how anointed you are, as long as you are not a Yoruba man, I don't want to go further. The rest, God will give you understanding. That's not an international ministry. That is a mantle to the Yoruba nation. If they are in Switzerland, you have a church for them there. No, that's not international. Your coverage is to Yoruba people. Some people are okay. Since you don't want me to talk, I will leave some things out. Amen. Coverage and reach. So there's a mark that is stipulated on the grace that you were ordained to carry, and there's an expectation arising from that mark, from that measure. And Paul says, what I do with my time is to ensure that I press sufficiently so that I can meet up with that mark. And the same Paul now came at a point in time and said, I have run the race. I have finished my course. That means he reached the mark while he was still strong and young. He reached the mark while he was still very, very young. People like Babalola hit the mark at, how old was he? 58? Is it 38 or 58? I don't know which one of them. 58. He hit the mark at 58. And Jesus appeared to him and said, do you want more life? You want to live? He said, no. What am I living for? He himself decided to die. That's the way of the immortals. Finish at 58. It was said, the CAC people believe that any ranking that Peter has in heaven, Babalola has it. So he was one of the perfect men that walked this world. Perfect in character, in anointing, till the day he finished his work. He didn't accept to live any extended life upon the face of the earth. Those were men that were striving to meet the mark. His wife is still alive, though. Yes, the greatest hindrance he had in ministry was his wife. He wept many times So that was one of the reasons he chose to do that. He didn't have a life of peace on earth. Hallelujah. So there's such a mark. And the perspective is coverage and reach. Now, are you with me? You cannot give yourself a coverage that is not part of the anointing in eternity. Now, you see, most of us are not, you are not at home with who you are in Christ. You are not at home with it. Sunday Guche, is he not Okpo? He has been operating, but he has an international ministry. From that Okpo is not a hindrance to him whatsoever. Somebody can go to Abuja and say, okay, he has a head start, and he may not be seen. He may only be relevant to 25 people till he becomes 50. Coverage. So Sunday Guche had that international ministry in his spirit. All of us may not have that kind of coverage. That coverage is an ordination. Are you with me? If you have that coverage and you begin to press towards the mark, you begin to see nations. You understand? The mark will speak to you. The measure will speak to you. You will know that with this measure, my mark is high. The mark will speak. It will speak coverage. It will speak reach to you. From what I see in my visions, I have an international ministry. When we went to Malawi, we gathered ministers, a lot of them. And I had 2 hours of teaching with them. When the meeting finished, I was expecting people to be excited that, wow, they were not excited. In fact, they mourned. So I was now, their reaction was not my expectation. I didn't expect that kind of reaction. So I was wondering, why this strange morning? The man came to me and said, it's not a program that they need, this kind of program. They need a school. They have seen that. They are operating the 1982 model of themselves. Now, have you seen Benz regular, 1982? You know those days, that car was super. But you had one. Now, so think of running that car now, you know. So we now came together. They said, Pastor, I know you came all the way from Nigeria, but we need a school where we can refresh. I said, okay, I can't promise you a school now, but I will give you 500 of my sermons for free. Distribute among yourselves. Hallelujah. And so we need to take capacity building to those nations. The coverage, the mark will call you. That mark will call you. The coverage will speak to you. The places that your spiritual legs are treaded. You know, there are places. I've said something that I don't have time to prove. There are places you have been to in the spirit. God will take you to those places and you will measure them in the spirit. And then when you pray, those places will begin to pop up. And when it pops up, it doesn't pop up like a foreign place. It pops at a familiar place. Because you have walked through those regions. Those regions have been measured. So when we talk about mark, we're talking about an accurate measurement that has been deciphered, that you have the capacity to tread upon in the light of the potential that you carry. If we check the book of Zacharias critically, which we don't have time to look upon now, but we may in time to come, you will find out that there are some category of angels in the book of Zechariah that their only assignment is to measure. Measurement. And they always have work to do. Hallelujah. So every time you move in the flesh, you lose ground. So the thing reduces, so they measure. You were disobedient, you lose more ground, they measure. Then you went somewhere, you obeyed God very well. There was peace in your spirit. They keep measuring. and you lose much ground, there will be measure. They have work every day because we are unstable. So every man has a current rating, current reading, current measurement as against the mark. So when Paul recognized this, he said, oh my, this one thing I do. So he didn't have many assignments again, one assignment. Forgetting those things that are behind, they are distractions. I press towards what? At the high court. You will know a man that is pressing towards the mark. His zeal burns like that of a cherubim. He's not satisfied with status quo. Money cannot become his God. But when you see a man that is no longer striving, money is very important. In fact, I was telling the brethren that Bonke came to hold a crusade in Abuja, and one bishop came there. And he took 28,000 and said, this is for logistics. 28 million for logistics. He never came back again. Bonke had to come and curse. You see, he believes there's a mark among the bishops that he needs to meet up with. Maybe his jeep is the alignment has a challenge, and he may not measure up in the community of bishops. So he needs to meet up with the mark. So he came and stole crusade money for his people in his country. Somebody else came from Germany with funding from outside, brought to support the local work of we local preachers in the land, and then a local preacher now goes to extort part of the money because he has a mark to reach. So a curse was released. How will somebody not be afraid of a curse from a man like Bonke? That is transgenerational. Hallelujah. So the measure of grace that you carry is what determines how far you can go. Please, I need you to pick this quickly. Not now. The measure of grace is what determines how far you can go. I'm running for time. Under this heading, because these are your, you know, if you want to do business, you need capital. Abi? So the capital that you need to work on in order to achieve your high calling is one, anointing; two, talents; and three, skills. Skills are developed. Talents are natural preferences. An anointing is a supernatural endowment. Now, like doctor trained as a medical personnel, that's a skill. We need your skill on the field of labor. We have things like medical outreach. If you are not a doctor, you cannot have that skill. And all of our endowments must be put together in order for us to meet up with the mark. Hallelujah. All kinds of skills. Apart from the formal skills we developed in school, there are some other skills. Like when this house was being built, I saw that doctor was a carpenter, became a mason, became... There is no assignment as tasking as ministry work. It will bring out all that is in you. Hallelujah. So there are places for skills, places for talents. Amen. I don't know, but I don't know how this one comes anyway. But whenever I preach, I develop a new song. I pick a song from heaven. I've done that for more than 5 years. We can be singing now. I just see that all the songs I know are not suitable for the environment. And then I begin to pray in tongues, begin to pray in tongues, begin to pray in tongues. And I begin to pray. That's why I'm hard on people that play this thing. But we are working together. Begin to pray in tongues. If it's in the spirit and it's striking the chord, the thing will come. Meanwhile, it's not all supernatural. Because I did music. And I could read the staff and play instruments from the staff. That was a skill. And then the anointing came on it. The anointing of a minstrel came upon it. So I can use that anointing to pick the song of the spirit. Hallelujah. To pick the song of the spirit. And then after a long while, I now discovered that we have picked so many songs. Alright, so the choir in Makurdi now decided, okay, let us make these songs praise and worship songs. You may not know some strange songs we sing. I picked it. In fact, one pastor sent me a message this morning. He said, I've been hearing your tapes. I've seen so many songs. Can I go to the studio with them? I said, what are you waiting for? Why did you have to waste time? Oh my Jesus. My work is to bring them down. Somebody else can take them to the studio. Now, meanwhile, it took me no effort to bring that one down because no effort. Maybe before the conference ends, we'll bring two down or three, two, here. And then when it comes down like that, because they are singing it in heaven and we are singing it on earth, and then something happens when heaven and earth sing the same song, according to the book of Revelation. It says, even the trees that are held in bondage are set at liberty. Creation begins to break out. His original purpose can now be fulfilled. Our skills. Everything you learned, everywhere you went, there is something you contacted from that place that will help you reach that what? That place. That man. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Amen. So the high calling upon your life is going to put everything in you and everything with you to task. You are a fashion designer. Don't think that is dissociated from God's work. There is no skill you have developed in righteousness that is not required or will not be required in pushing God's work. So we need every skill, we need every talent, we need every anointing to come together so that we can advance. If you were trained, maybe you went to COE, you were a trained teacher. So you may not be a teacher by calling, but because you were trained to teach, that also has application in the kingdom. There's a lot of capacity building gaps in the body of Christ. And that your training and development is something that heaven will make demand upon. So we have anointings, we have talents, and what? And skills. Very important. There are some scriptures that people that read Greek can understand because of their Greek knowledge. A sister was told to lead prayer one day and she began to mention the names of some strange trees. Strange trees, the ones that operate in the desert. And she connected the fact that we are trees of righteousness, the plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Then he began to analyze those trees based on her Greek knowledge. Oh my God, I said, Jesus, if you didn't read Greek, there's no way that understanding will come to you. The plantings of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Every skill, every learning, every training, every talent is required to be put on the table. Now, if you have an inclination in the music area, only God knows. We are not oh my Jesus. You need to go to Lagos and see what those guys are doing to young people with that kind of music. In fact, they will afflict you in the bus, afflict you in the shopping mall, afflict you everywhere. So, are Christians not singing? Jesus. Now, God, we need to help us to reach out into the deposits and to bring out that which can advance the kingdom of God. Number 6. We have the gospel of the stature of leadership. Listen. God also needs leaders, as you can see. Because he has people, so he needs leaders. people that can influence them in a particular generation along the lines of his present revelation position. So he needs leaders. And so if God wants to raise a leader, it is very easy for him. What he does is that he places an anointing upon you. Now, you see, when we all give our lives to Christ, hallelujah, and we're learning the ways of the Lord, then maybe we attend prayer meetings, attend Bible studies, and all of that, come for night vigils, and then suddenly you now realize that among all the 12 people that gave their life to Christ, there is one that you are beginning to see a definite passion for God on him, much more than the others. A passion. And that passion is so intense that he's ready to sacrifice and to live that way. Live a life of sacrifice just to see that God is pleased. It means that there is some form of intimacy with God that is building. And on the strength of that intimacy is drawing some grace on his life. It means that God is beginning to raise a leader. There's no way you can have a leader among other people that you're not noticing. The measure of grace at work on his life is normally more than the average. If that's how you were when you were on campus and you're no longer like that now, we have to do something this night quickly to get you back on track. If that's how you were 5 years ago and you are not like that now, you used to see strange visions, huh? And people were hated you because you were too active in the prayer meetings. You say, I saw on Monday. Saw. Then somebody comes to you and say, don't see again. And tomorrow you say, I still saw. You mean there's something at work. God is beginning to raise leadership. And the way God raises leadership is that he puts grace and endowment upon a man. That endowment makes him conspicuous. Even though he tries to hide himself, he cannot successfully do that. It makes him conspicuous. It means that a leader is beginning to rise. So in the body of Christ, there is nothing like there's nothing like bad leader and good leader. It's either leader or no leader. Because what makes you a leader is an endowment. If that endowment is not there, it means you are not a leader. Meanwhile, a leader in political context might be somebody that occupies the office of a governor, has access to the funds of the state, and he decides the lines of development that he brings to the state. But the purpose of leadership in the body of Christ is different from the purpose of leadership on the political seat. The purpose of leadership is to bring men into God. I hope you know the man needs to know God first before he can bring men into God. It's not a set of teachings. It's not logos. To bring men into God. Bring men into the realities of God. And so people saw Paul the day he gave his life to Christ. And you know, we have this kind of stuff. Did he not give his life to Christ? We saw him. We were the ones that did the crusade. That's immaterial. Because that guy can take off like a tornado from that place, and you'll be amazed what pushes him. And so Paul came out of season, according to him. But the unction and the oil upon him was so intense, and the zeal in him, even in old age, he did not wane. And God gave him the most strategic calling in the New Testament, in the early church. Most strategic. It was a time where Judaism had invaded the pure texture of the church of God. And God needed one that was vast in the knowledge of the law to decipher and separate Christianity from Judaism. It was Paul that bore the mantle that separated Judaism from Christianity. Even Satan himself never knew that could be achieved in one generation. Satan did not expect that. Paul rose up and it was clear what Judaism was and what Christianity was. Those are things that take aeons to happen. In one generation, a man rose up and he did that through the anointing and the investment that was upon him. A leader was rising. So he became teacher to the people that discipled him. because he grew in that stature of leadership in Christ Jesus. So it's not when he gave his life to Christ, it's what he carries, the stature he holds. Now, come with me. You still remember 1, 2, 3, Abby? The analysis of 1, 2, 3 is that it is need-centered. Not true? And in that one, I am blessed. In this one, this 3, it is function-centered. And here, others are blessed. And this is 64. If you attend a church or a center that in addition to 1, 2, 3, they do 4, 5, 6, you can stay in this kind of church and find out your calling. You can find out what God has called you to do. You can know how to go about it. You can know the required protocol that it requires, that is, that your call demands. And you have the blessings of the leadership of that house that can teach this one to maximize that calling. So this is function-centered. Others are blessed. Take a visit to Abuja. When you take a visit to Abuja, you'll discover that the average believer doesn't have any knowledge of his function. So, we are not into capacity building and development services in the body of Christ. Because this one talks about, now that you have gotten from God, we have an expectation from God to other people and to our generation. It's function based. Your stature of leadership by the anointing to influence other people. Alright? And this is the progression. When somebody gives his life to Christ and is consistent in the things of God, then an anointing comes upon him. He's expected to be a steward of that anointing. Maybe an anointing to intercede, an anointing to teach, an anointing to administer, something like that. Alright? So he's faithful in it, he works in it, and I see it is obvious from the spiritual authority under which he's growing that this man is consistent in this matter. So through the anointing, he has proven that being a faithful steward of that anointing under supervision, they've been found faithful. So the first line of responsibility, that is functional responsibility, let's put it in quote, that the New Testament system of hierarchy captures is deaconship. Deaconship. Alright? So he's brought into deaconship. Now deaconship has to do with overseers of administration to see that the system that feeds the brethren, the system that blesses the brethren, runs seamlessly. They are behind the scenes functionaries, if you may say. Are you with me? So in the pool of deacons, you now notice that this one has the capacity for spiritual oversight. Are you here now? He has capacity for spiritual business, because deaconship is administrative. And the reason why we bring the person into administrative roles is to see, because you see, Saul in the Old Testament was looking for donkeys and he found the kingdom. So you are exposed to menial activities. That's how you stumble on great things. A man that is too big to do little things will become too little to do big things.
Nobody should be promoted that doesn't have a track record of faithfulness in service, in doing little things consistently and doing it well and bringing records. Because if you promote a man like that, that doesn't have a culture of service, that man will not understand the way of the kingdom. Greatness in the kingdom is based on our willingness to serve. Till today, it's still, you go for a meeting, it's service, they want to honor you, so somebody carries your Bible, another person wants to tie your shoelace, and, you know. If you grew well, you will not allow them. Because service should have entered your bone, that you don't need somebody to help you tie your shoelace. Meanwhile, just in case there are lack of ushers in this hall now, you'll be amazed. I was trained as an usher. I can switch into ushering and do it for the purpose of this conference, and it will not reduce any anointing for me. So, just in case there's a shortfall in the workforce, even we sitting at the front here should be able to dissociate into the congregation and become helping hands and do it effectively. Because there was such a time when we were in charge of administrative business. We didn't just emerge. So we can still go back to it and still do it effectively to this moment. We can even train people to operate in that place. The fact that you are an usher today, it is not by any means an attempt to demean you. It's just a platform given to you to test your heart. And a man whose heart has not been tested should not be promoted in the body of Christ. He will wound all of us. It's a danger to us. Because he comes believing that it's a title. He doesn't know that it's a responsibility. You know when you are ES, you know the way you walk. Some people will close by 4 and go. Your own work might be starting by 4. So that's no longer duty. That is responsibility. Duty and responsibility are different things. Some believers are still operating from the realm of duty. They say, I should do this, so I have done it. But you are put in deaconship to be able to supersede duty into responsibility. Where your heart now carries it, it's not because they say that I'm doing it. I know that this is my father's business and I'm on ground to ensure that this wing does not leak. Now, when that person has transited from duty to responsibility and he has a very tangible anointing, and such a person can be brought into eldership, that's the next level. It's either called eldership or the bishopric. I won't give you scriptures for this one. But if you need it badly, I can give you and show you the sequence. Right? Eldership or what? Bishopric. That's the work of an overseer. People's souls. He is giving charge of some souls to check on their welfare spiritually, to give report, give account on how they are faring. He can do spiritual work now because he has learned how to what? To serve. So he can serve over the lives of men, and he will do it diligently. That's either eldership or called bishopric. Now we have an inversion of the system in the Pentecostal circle, because it is the senior pastor that should appoint elders or bishops, not the other way around. You didn't get it. So that thing we call bishopric in the Pentecostal, there is no such system like that in scripture. It is another level of flesh. You know, anything that is not in the original, the author is Jesus. The examples are the apostles. Anything you didn't see in their time that we invent now, it is to be powered by another spirit. Because you can't reinvent anything. You can't add anything again. Because, those people that carry title in this city, are they not the ones that have destroyed the name of the church more in this town? May the Lord give you understanding. Meanwhile, if you become one tomorrow, we'll still be friends. I will address you as such. If you can manage it.
No problem. But it's not in the Bible in that sense. That's why when my ordination came, Papa said, what do you want me to ordain you? I can ordain bishop, apostle, prophet. Because according to the scripture, it is a pastor that should ordain bishops or elders. So I went somewhere, it was a wedding, no, an ordination, so a bishop was there. So I had to bring those scriptures and I analyze it. I release it with so much skill that... brought it out like that with skill and support from Old and New Testament. So when his function, he refused to carry out his function. It's not there. It's not there. We don't need a title. Understand? The apostleship that we have received is actually a description of the type of grace that we carry. Alright? It's not a title, as it were. It's just a description of what? The type of grace. What to expect. The kind of strength we bring to the body of Christ. The kind of strength the prophet brings to the body of is a type of what? Of grace. And I said that as we grow, we will specialize to our various areas of strength. Our various areas of what? Of strength. So that we can bring our horns together and send forth territorial effects that will be binding over the territory. Now, these three are function based. This aspect of teaching is no longer in the body. In fact, preaching and teaching these days have excluded anything that teaches about nature of anointings and how to tap into anointings. Anointings form part of the capital that you need to exploit to fulfill God's mandate for your life. Anointings are different. So we have type of anointing and we have measure of anointing. Those are the two variables. Different types of anointing. Then we can have the same anointings but in different measures. Now we can't go into all of that talk now, but discipleship must cover these aspects. There must be seasons where people are brought into the teaching of functionalities so that everybody can find his destiny eventually, and the atmosphere and the wineskin can be accommodative enough to see people grow to maturity and step into their destiny as ordained by God. We'll stop here for now. In the morning tomorrow, we go to the next three. By the time we do the next three, then when is the minister's conference ending? Tomorrow evening, okay. When we do next three tomorrow morning, then in the evening we'll now do the permutations. We'll do the permutations. We'll see the combination that operates in Brazil, the combination that operates in US, combination that operates in the UK, combination that operates in Nigeria, combination that operates in Benin Republic, combination that operates in Ghana. And why idolatry is still very strong in Ghana is because of the combination. Why Christianity is weak in Nigeria is because of the combination. And then we that God is raising to lift the banner of the kingdom of God at this time, what approach should we have and what emphasis should we hold? Hallelujah. Then when we have known the emphasis, if God permits and there's a little time, we'll begin to establish the building blocks of that emphasis. Then we'll take home some assignments that it will take us 1 year to finish. Then after next year, we'll come again, look at those assignments, whether you did it, because most people will not do it. Then we'll continue from that point. Hallelujah. We're going to spend some time. I want us to deliberately spend some time in prayer, at least 30 minutes or 45 minutes or thereabout, to consolidate these things. To consolidate them. So during my time of Bible study, I realized that there's such a gap in Bible education, a gap in the emphasis of the Spirit. There's such a gap that exists in the body of Christ, and I felt we had to do something about it. Hallelujah. And for many hours I was locked in studies of the scripture to understand and to summarize the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. What is the meaning of the Bible? I found out and I came with a summary. It's just that we'll not have time to summarize it here, but someday, sometime, we'll do a summary of the scripture. With that, nobody can deceive you with the Bible. When we have done the summary, then we'll now start doing summary of every book. Genesis, what's the meaning? Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. I will show you that Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers is Ephesians. I can draw the graph for you of books. I can show you the connection of Old Testament and New Testament, the marriage of the Bible. But it's complex. Initially, it will be complex, but finally, it won't be complex. Now, we need that kind of mastery because of the level of infiltration of false doctrine that has come into the body of Christ. From what I've seen, there is a wave of glory that will hit this town in the neighborhood of about 5 years from now. Now, we need capacity building to be able to handle what will come out of that move. There will be an exodus. People will move out of centers that are dysfunctional. Because what God will do is that he will heighten the hunger in the hearts of men, the territory. And there will be a massive exodus, a massive movement, regrouping, realignment, all that. Some platforms will be elevated, some other platforms will be... so that he can set up the system that will bear his testimony within the region. And people that are ready to take a responsibility for coverage and for reach. That will happen in the territory. Hallelujah. Now it is in view of that we are doing capacity building. I know this kind of stuff is not popular. To get people together, let's do analysis. In fact, most people are not even interested for us to do summary of the whole Bible. It doesn't sound... who are you hunting something? What are you looking for? That you want to summarize the whole Bible. In the days to come, Satan himself will become a teacher. Now, you see, what we are having now is false prophets arising. People that are using... This is not the worst, though. Are you with me? This is not the worst. The worst is the rise of false teachers. They are coming. They are coming. And before they invade, we need to establish the people of God in the truth of his word so that everyone will be grounded, will know our left from our right. Our judgment will be accurate. Our perception will be perfect. And in spirituality will be balanced. Hallelujah. Now, we'll spend some time to pray. We'll continue tomorrow morning. Joshua. Or is there a question? You have a question? Question. Now, before we start answering questions, I'm going to take only two questions. Let us agree that I don't have all the answers. That's the first thing. I don't have all the answers. Jesus has all the answers. I don't have all the answers. So it is possible that you may have a question that I cannot answer. Maybe some of our brethren will be able to attempt it. Okay? And if all of us don't have the answer, we'll go and consult with Jesus and probably come up with answers. You know, when you teach like this, people believe you know everything. So I have to tell you the truth. I don't have what? All the answers. Give her the mic.
Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening. Yes.
And my question is, as a member in a church, is it right for you to, maybe when you are moved by the Spirit of God, like in a case like this, I was in the church and I was moved, my spirit was moving me to pray, like go to my pastor and pray. I was seeing some things about him that I should not pray for him.
Was it during a service?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let me tell you how to do it. Don't go during the service.
It's after the service I went to meet him.
It's after the service. Okay, yes. That's good.
So when I met...
That time you are moved. Let me tell you about prophetic things. Oh my God. We do school of prophets. You will know how to operate. And God will be glorified. That time the thing is moving you doesn't mean that execution must be that time. Because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You will judge the situation whether it is convenient. Alright? If it's not, prophecy is not time based. It came from eternity. If you begin to say it, the anointing will still come on you. If you are doing it in obedience. So the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You can deliver prophecy, you can carry out prophetic action even when you don't feel the stirring. The important thing is receiving the instruction. Then you will now, through wisdom, will now know when to deliver on the instruction in such a way that nobody is distracted in the service. Are you with me? All right. Was that what you did?
So I went, I met the pastor. When I get there, and I greeted him and I said, because it was January this year, so the spirit was telling me I should like pray, like bless him. Something that was what
came to you.
Yes. Okay. So when I went, I met him, and I told him that in my spirit I was led to pray
with him.
Yes. He now said, "You pray for me."
No, that one is no longer your business.
So
wait first. That one is no longer your business. You have obeyed God. You were not allowed. You go down. Are you God?
But you know what?
Even Jesus was rejected in some places. So what's your business? You see, this is a first lesson in the school of prophets. How to handle rejection. Because you will be rejected. For about 10 years you will be rejected. You, it's just one rejection you have. Prepare, it's coming. For 10 years you'll be rejected. No, nothing less than 10 years. If you don't have 10 years of rejection, you cannot be ordained as a prophet. The proof that God sent you into a territory is that when you plant church, there'll be problem. Then it means Baba has sent you.
So I want to ask if is it bad for congregation to pray for the pastor?
No. I've answered your question. I say you obeyed God, you went there, the person rejected you, despised you. That's no longer your business. Oh my. Oh, please give my friend there. It's not your business.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank God there will be a summary of the Bible, but I want to quickly ask this in the light of ministers' conference. What is this concept of school of thought as to the interpretation of the Bible by various, you know, groups of the body of Christ?
Okay, we have a catalog of leading commentaries. Albert Vines, Matthew Henry, Dix, Baxter, and all of that. Should I say something? Yes, I know they have been useful. Some of them have been useful to you in your study. You refer to them. And sometimes you go to them, you don't get any help. Is that your experience? You go sometimes, there's help. You go some other times, you don't find help. It's a commentary. It's not necessarily inspired. Not necessarily. In fact, some of those people don't even have more authority in those scriptures than yourself. So new commentaries have emerged. Like Watchman Nee, Witness Lee did a commentary of the Bible, 25,000 pages. In my own opinion, that's the best commentary ever. But even as good as it is, there are still some scriptures that it was weak in delivering things. Because his commentary was based on the center and the circumference of the revelation of the Bible. The Bible is not existing in limbo. Are you with me? The Bible is not just existing without a reference. the center of the Bible. The Bible is the book of Christ. It's the sum total. The sum total of the revelation of the Bible is Christ and his kingdom. So that was the key that was used to interpret the entire Bible in witnessless work. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That was the key. It was not just interpreting it just as the Bible, just as see the scripture now, see ya. No, it was interpreting it using that key. So it brings the purposes of God out, and then it just opens the Bible. And it's on the strength of that I wanted to summarize the Bible. Because I can show you from scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, that the Bible is the book of Christ and his kingdom. It's very clear throughout. Just like the Quran is a book of world domination. The Quran is not a religious book. It's a political book. It's a book of territory and conquest, strategy and application. That's the book. That's what it is. Are you with me? Every time the Quran makes an attempt to talk about the afterlife, it's always funny. So you know the man didn't see anything about the afterlife. And that's why when he decided to say the truth to his daughter, he said himself, he's not sure of where he's going. Don't consider him too much. He's not sure. But if his strategy of taking over cities, of dominating people by tyranny, he was an expert. A spirit actually spoke to him. And the name of that spirit, according to the Bible, is death. So what Muslims serve is death that they serve. It's death they worship. But the Bible is a book of Christ and his kingdom. And all interpretation must come from that perspective, either old or new. I wanted to do that. We may still do that. It won't take time. We may still do that now. If we can't do it now, we'll now do it later. So I found most of those commentaries to be very weak. Very, very weak. I studied Dick's Annotated Reference Bible. That was my first Bible. When I began to grow in Revelation, I didn't find that Bible relevant. I gave it out. Then went to Thompson's Chain Reference Bible. I finished Thompson's Chain Reference Bible and the gaps were too much. Then I went to Jack Van Imp Prophecy Bible. When I finished that, oh my God, it became weak. Then I went to Maurice Aurelio's Prosperity Bible. Then I said, wait, no more. Let me go over the Bible myself. After going over it four times, and then I stumbled on the Recovery Bible, which was the Bible that Watchman Nee commented on. It's through the Recovery Bible I had access to the commentary of Witness Lee. And of all commentaries I've seen in my Bible journey, there has been none that could stand side by side the commentary of Witness Lee. You will see that he was born to do that work. He was born to do that work. He was standing on the foundation. How many of you have read any Watchman Nee book? Watchman Nee. Have you seen that he is a perfect expositor, as if he was there when Paul was alive? And that is an apostolic spirit. So Witness Lee was discipled into it. Watchman Nee wanted to write the commentary, but God said that's not his role. That the book he was supposed to give his generation was this spiritual man. Have you read it? 1, 2, 3. That was his life's work. So it was Witness Lee now that the battle now fell on to do the commentary. And that's why God gave him 90 years of life. Took him about 45 years to do that commentary. It's the best in the world. When I say it's the best in the world, I have a fair idea of what I'm talking about. It's the best in the world. I'm Watchman Nee's student. I'm a product of Watchman Nee's ministry. And that commentary is what I use. And all these things I'm talking about, these are philosophies that Watchman Nee sustained. Hallelujah. Did I make sense? All right. So we are going to pray. Please. I said I'll take just two.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This we are going to pray. Let us pray with Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Just open it before you leave your seat. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Okay.
Pastor Israel, let's use Bible to do that thing. Let's go to Luke chapter 24. Let us find the key. What's the message? No, don't run away. Just hang there. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. These are the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter Bible, it should be in red. And he said unto them, that is unto his disciples now, said, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you. What words are those? That all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Now I hope you know the entire Old Testament is law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms. And what is the subject of the law of Moses, the prophets, and Psalms? It is concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. That means, if you are going to understand the scriptures, you must understand that it's a book of Christ and his kingdom. It's only from that perspective that every scripture in the entire Bible will open. If you look at it from any other perspective, you will just be another problem to the world of dogma.
Hallelujah. It's not taken. You just write it. When you go back, you read it. You look at it again. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, before you leave your seat, look at Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We'll pray with it. I bet you I will not bother you with more scripture. We'll just pray. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Four. Thank you, Father. Yes, sir.
Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Hallelujah. And there's something he was talking about Christ before that verse 16. He was talking about Christ, and when he got 16, he said that therefore, because of what he has been telling us about Christ, let us come boldly to the throne. It's not a physical throne of Ochidoma to Tiv, no, it's a spiritual throne. Hallelujah. The spiritual throne. Neither when you come to that spiritual throne, you need to come there spiritually. It's a spiritual throne, so you need to come there spiritually. You now obtain mercy and you now find grace to help in the time of need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual throne. I'm saying this because prayer is a spiritual business. The spiritual, that I perceive that word that come, that he said, therefore come here body, that come, that beckoning, he said, it's a spiritual beckoning. Hallelujah. It's a call to all of us. It's in the spirit, and you are going to tune in the spirit. That's the only way that our prayer is going to be effective. So when we tune in, we come to his throne, to the place of prayer. He said that there's mercy. He said that there is grace to help in the time of need. How many of us, you know, that we are in the time of need? Hallelujah. What kind of need are we talking about? If you have been around from day one to here, you really understand that we are really in the time of need. Because point one, point two, point three, I don't know about you, but when I'm hearing teaching, I'm putting myself first. Hallelujah. And sometimes as they are preaching and repenting there already, I will not even wait for them to finish. So I don't know about you, but when I put myself, I see that I'm also lacking. I'm also found wanting. Hallelujah. Point one, point two, point three, say that this word is need-centered. That is what raised up. That is what brought us up. Need-centered. And when we score that, they say that one is 30%. What? Hallelujah. So you can spend all your days just 30%. That reminds me of my university days. Our lecturer, one of the macro economists, one of the exam, he gave us an exam, and you know, 6 questions answered and 4. They were so cheap, and many of us we just rush You just rush all the question and answer. Pop, pop. Somebody will just answer in, you know, less than 30 minutes and it's out and we're jubilating. And, you know, someone, somebody brought the question, the question again. That we should look at, should read the instruction. It was then that our eyes now went to the instruction. When we look at the instruction, we saw that he said that question one is compulsory. Now we didn't look at that. Hallelujah. So we went through. And only that question one, the exam of course was over 60. So only that question one was carrying 40 marks. So you mean that you're answering four questions, Abi? If you answer question one, that one is 40 marks. Then the other three questions is carrying just 20 marks. So we were busy rejoicing in 20 marks. Rejoicing. So when we saw that, some of us were his friends, we went to meet him. Sir. So he said, you are going to learn lesson that instructions, they are part of the exams. Since then, I'll never forget that. So you see, in the kingdom of God, the way many of us were brought up, and what we are doing, many of us, we are rejoicing with 20 marks, with 30 marks. Hallelujah. Need. Anything that cannot solve our need, cannot touch our need. You know, many of us, I know that we were invited, we came here, we still need, you know, healing, money, and all that. God knows that we are the important, but He wants us to face the one that will give us more marks. Hallelujah. So God is going to help our heart in the name of Jesus. Apostle Tony was praying, the vision in 1976. Now the thing now came back to me. The one that Apostle Babalola saw when they went for a prayer meeting concerning Nigeria. You know, during their time, the government was not the way it is because they were selfless apostles. But he said that before he passed on 1976, they went for a prayer. They were praying concerning Nigeria, and he said that in that prayer, it was now revealed to them about the meeting that was held in hell concerning Nigeria. The topic in hell, that Nigeria is important though. The topic in hell was concerning Nigeria. And it was talking about the three demonic princes that appeared. Because Satan himself was asking a question of how is he going to deal with Nigeria? Because that apostolic group, Apostle Babalola, the way they were moving, he knew that in a little while they are going to run down his kingdom in Nigeria and there will be nothing left for him. So he began to ask for strategy, that how is he going to do? And three of his generals, demonic princes, they appeared. And according to Apostle Babalola, he said that one of them was gorgeously dressed, you know, glistering like gold. And he began to tell Satan that it's a very small thing. He's going to leap on the church and he's going to corrupt their gospel. He's going to turn our gospel into prosperity, into, you know, was he talking about me, Abi? And when that is done, he quoted scripture. That quoted scripture for Satan, that God said that you either love God or mammon. That when that is done, people begin to love mammon and their God himself will not be in their midst. There was a great applaud in hell. The other demonic, you know, principality came also as pride that's going to bounce on them, and they'll begin to go after titles and all that. There was great applaud, and the other one came as lost. And while I was leading that prayer, I was not thinking that, you know, I'll evaluate us between that 1976-50. Now you see the effect, the impact of the Spirit on the church. So we need help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody with me? We need help. That's why the King is calling us. Now all what we are hearing is not to end at the informational knowledge. No. It's to draw us to the throne, to draw us to the King, so that He will help us first, because national transformation begins with personal transformation. Hallelujah. If all of you, I'm seeing children, I'm seeing young people, I'm seeing all ministers, if all of us grab the spirit of what is going on there, we go back to our very denomination, to our very home. In fact, we begin from our homes. We go back then, there's going to be transformation. They will get what we are talking about. So the tip point is, see that I'm affected, I don't know about you. When they now mention the second three, I say, Kai, I'm nearly going, you know, the corporate body. Look at even our family self, that we're not enjoying that corporate body, even beginning from the family. Can you imagine when that corporate body come into place? That's even the family. Where you see the wife is doing, I'm not talking about duty but responsibility. You see the husband also responsibility. You now see the children. You can imagine that kind of thing. I know so many things have been facilitated in my home just because I came into agreement with my wife and the woman. We agree concerning something about the kingdom. I knew how the thing came firstly. But you see, when Satan now makes us individual, self-centered, even at home, you know what happened. So you can see that these things, we are all affected. Do we agree what we are talking about? Hallelujah.
We are going to receive help today. Is somebody with me? Maybe you are here, you were afraid when you were preaching that, you know, they have warned us, don't talk against man of God. Don't mention me. This one is calling, this one is calling. Hey, I don't want to receive curse. No, curse will come for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are we ready to pray? Okay, you can leave your seat now if you want. And let's begin to pray and ask for mercy and ask for help. Let God help our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. Let God help our hearts. Malabo to the Apiscoliata. Shabrakata Brodosukata Bragala Maluska. Let God help our hearts. Let God help our hearts. Let's begin the Libara Tuscalia, Brodola Cuscalia, Brodola Cuscalia. Shabrakatalia, Brodola Cuscalia, Bragala Maluscalia. Shekata Brodo Sukata Bragada Baluska, Librecatadiato, Brodola Luscaya, Shabrecatalia, Brodola Baluska, Librecatalia, Brodola Baluscaya, Shekata Brodo Sukala Brada Baluska, Librecatalia, Brodola Baluskia, Shakada Bragada Baluto, Sikitiato, Brodola Suria. Let God help our lives, let God help our hearts, Nabaluscuria, Lita Toscoria, Licaria. Just cry out for help this evening. Cry out for help. Concerning yourself, just cry out for help. You will see the ministry of the helper now. Jaka da braka da baluska, braka da jata, braka da baluska.